The views and opinions expressed on this show are not intended to provide healthcare advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Views expressed here do not necessarily reflect those of Hay House Radio or its staff.
It's your turn now. Learn how to flourish with Dr. Christian Northrup.
Good morning, everyone. Here we are on Halloween, Samhain, the day when the veil between the worlds of the seen and the unseen is the thinnest, the day when it's easier than ever to be in touch with those who have gone before, your ancestors. So you might spend a little time saying howdy to your grandmother or grandfather or whoever has gone before you. And I would also like to send my blessings and compassion to everyone who's still struggling with the effects of Hurricane Sandy in New York City and New Jersey. Those areas were especially hard hit, though I do want to point out that this storm did not turn out to be as bad as was predicted in many areas, including New England. Now, it is still Breast Health Awareness Month. I, as you know, refuse to call it Breast Cancer Awareness Month because what we resist persists and what we focus on expands. And so we're focusing on breast health today. And my guest is Dr. Philip Getson, who's been a medical thermographer since 1982. He has been certified by 4 thermographic boards, has reviewed over 10,000 images of thermography, has lectured internationally on the subject and how you detect disorders of the breast and neuromuscular system with this technology. And he was recently elected vice president of the American Academy of Thermology and has chaired that committee for the first time, written definitive protocols for breast thermography that have been endorsed by the international thermographic medical community. So I know there is a great deal of confusion about how to screen your breasts. And what women are told is that they need a mammogram, that mammograms save lives. That is an extraordinarily controversial topic. I once told the truth about my opinion on mammograms in a bathroom, a women's room in San Diego, after giving a lecture. And the pandemonium that ensued was frightening. And then later, when I got back on the stage, a radiologist came up to me and was almost foaming at the mouth and said, "You are dangerous. Do you understand me? You are dangerous." And I suppose I may be dangerous to the forces of darkness, but I'm really not dangerous to you or your breasts. So welcome, Dr. Getson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, if somebody told me I was dangerous, I'd be thrilled.
Actually, now I'm thrilled. I was a little more codependent back then. I recently, Larry Burke wrote a book called Let Magic Happen, and Larry is a radiologist from Duke who left standard medicine. He was using, learned how to use imagery, actually, as a way to help people heal, and he was instrumental in having me come and be a keynote speaker at the opening of the Duke Alternative Medicine Center down there at Duke University. It took him years because one of the people there referred to me as very dangerous. So at one point I was the most dangerous woman in America. So here we go. Now, you just got back from a conference on mammography. Do you want to, let's start off, and we've got a couple really nice callers, so we're going to get into those in a minute. But just to set everyone, just to get the playing field set straight, can you give us some of the latest data on mammography? And by the way, for everyone listening, we will be presenting you with what you really should be doing. So don't worry. We're not pulling the rug out from under you. I sometimes worry that when you, if a woman actually believes that a mammogram is saving her life, then I don't want to disavow her of something that's really helping. On the other hand, knowledge is power. And so we want to start with empowering you with the latest knowledge so that you're not just a sheep. So can you roll into that?
I can certainly do that. I will tell you a couple of things first, and we'll talk about statistics and data that comes from the sources that I'm going to cite for your listeners.
Okay, great.
Also, let me tell you that in my estimation, there has probably been no diagnostic test in my 36 years of medicine that has been under more scrutiny continuously than mammography. And one needs to wonder why that is. So let me give you a couple of numbers. In 2009, the U.S. Preventative Task Force on breast screening recommended to the general public, and I'm quoting now, rather than benefiting from screening, women with cancer may incur harm when undergoing mammography, additional imaging, and biopsies. In 2011, the British Medical Journal, which you know is the main source of medical information to the British physicians, said breast cancer screening, meaning mammograms, may cause women harm, especially during the early years after they start screening. In 2010, well, let me go beyond that. The Nordic Cochrane Center, and just for your listeners' information, the Nordic Cochrane Center is in Norway, is a group of independent researchers who accumulate data from all over the world, and they take that data and process it, and it has to do with breast disease. So in February of this year, they issued the following, quote, "It therefore no longer seems reasonable to attend for breast cancer screening mammography. In fact, by avoiding going to screening, a woman will lower her risk of getting a breast cancer diagnosis." And then they give you this statistic, and this segues beautifully into what you said at the beginning of the show. If 2,000 women are screened regularly for 10 years, one will benefit from the screening as she will avoid dying from breast cancer. So let me repeat that. If 2,000 women are screened regularly for 10 years, one will benefit from screening as she will avoid dying from breast cancer. And
wow.
they go on to say that 10 healthy women will become cancer patients and be treated unnecessarily, and 200 women will experience a false alarm. And here's something we as physicians never talk about. The psychological strain until one knows whether or not it was cancer and even afterwards can be severe. So they're not only looking at the physicality, they're looking at the emotional component of women who are getting breast cancer screening and are told, you know, come back, this may be a problem, we're kind of worried about it, we're not sure what we're seeing, et cetera, et cetera. And one last statistic that I will give you, which goes to 1928, when in radiology, which is the major journal of radiologists or doctors who read x-rays or mammograms, a Dr. D.T. Quigley wrote in 1928, and again I'm quoting, "Be careful of handling cancerous breasts for fear of accidentally disseminating cells and spreading cancer." And this was 40 years before a mammogram. So for statistical purposes, it is really clear that the worldwide medical community looks at mammography as being problematic more than beneficial.
And here we are in the Pink Ribbon Club. There's a new documentary that just came out called Pink Ribbons Incorporated. And it is it's an expose of the business of the Pink Ribbon running for the cure. Delta Airlines, of course, I think does everything but make pink airplanes. And all of this, if you understood, if our listeners understood how research works, you need to understand that there's actually not an incentive to get a cure for breast cancer. The incentive is to get your grant renewed so that you can stay in a job. So raising money for breast cancer research is going to do, in my opinion, the way things are right now, precious little to actually cure breast cancer. And what I'm very interested in, which is why Dr. Getson is on the show today, is preventing breast cancer in the first place. So one of the first things you do to prevent it is possibly not having a screening test that will diagnose you with something that you have to keep going back for. You know, Dr. Getson, when you talked about that, I was reminded of Gilbert Welsh's book. He's from Dartmouth and is an expert on early detection and wrote a book called Should I Be Screened for Cancer? Should I Be Tested for Cancer? And the subtitle is Probably not. And what he points out is exactly what you said, which is that the screening process is not benign. And isn't the other data that if you get mammograms regularly for 10 years, one a year for 10 years, you got a 100% chance of having to have a biopsy for a suspicious area?
Absolutely. And here's a couple of other things going along with that. Dr. Gotch, which is spelled G-O-T-Z-S-C-H-E, who's the head of the Nordic Cochrane Group, actually just released a book called Mammography Screening, Truth, Lies, and Controversy. And this book, which is about, 350 or so pages, actually goes through all of the studies and all of the details and all of the things that have not been released to the general public about mammography. So it's in the same vein as what you're talking about, and I firmly believe that the scope of medicine in the world, although we in the United States are a little behind here, the scope of medicine is really now more about prevention. And really, in any disease, don't we really want to prevent? For example, cancer cells at 90 days are 2. Cancer cells at 8 years are 4 trillion. So if you can find out something early on, you're looking at a year, there's 16 cells. At 2 years, 256 cells. Even at 3 years, only 896. It's between 3 and 4 years that it exponentially rises to 65,000 cells. So if we know early, then we can make those changes in diet and lifestyle and make the alterations to at least prevent or minimize any kind of cancer. We're talking about breast cancer today, but we're looking to prevent by changing our lives and changing what we do. And you won't see a breast cancer on a mammogram until about 6 to 8 years into it, and you're looking at somewhere between 16 million and 4 trillion cells.
Right, but if you were to come in, so let's talk about the technology of, and then Patty, we're going to get to you because you have a question about a breast lump, and we're going to, this will segue beautifully into that. So if you go in for a thermogram, it is my understanding that you can grade that image on a scale of 1 to 100, and in terms of how much cellular inflammation is there. And then through lifestyle changes, you can change the cellular inflammation. And by the way, cellular inflammation is the beginning stages of what becomes cancer. And so you're actually preventing the disease, whereas mammography only picks up something that is there or may be there already, which is hardly prevention. That's like pulling out your teeth to prevent decay. So talk to us a little bit about what thermography is, what it can do, and of course, what it can't do.
Okay, well, thermography is infrared imaging. It is using the infrared temperature scale to detect areas of the breast that show inflammation. As people know, the infrared spectrum is the opposite of ultraviolet. We all give off heat. The basic fundamental premise is that the body is a symmetrical entity, that the left side of your body and the right side of your body are within certain parameters the same. And we can look at the vasculature, we can look at the blood vessels, we can stress those blood vessels, we can give you a cold challenge, we give you an ice pack to hold, which will cause them to dilate or not. We can look at the breast from a perspective of symmetry to determine whether one side looks like the other. And if it doesn't, then it is presumed to be abnormal. Now, we call thermography a breast health risk assessment tool. We are not looking at this and saying, you have breast cancer. What we are doing is we're looking at the physiology of the breast. For your
now, this
listeners,
is really important. I want to stop you a minute because this is something that is new to most people who have not been in holistic medicine, and that is thermography is a functional test. It tells you what's going on right now, this red hot minute. It is not diagnostic. It's functional. Western medicine has this penchant for constant, well, in fact, the whole reimbursement system is based on codes, diagnostic codes. So, therefore, you want a diagnosis to get reimbursed. And thermography is measuring, it's a physiologic measure of how much blood flow, how much cellular inflammation is in a given area by simply measuring the amount of heat that is given off by the body. Now, I had a woman on my Facebook page say she just had a thermography at Brigham and Women's in Boston, and they told her it had four times the radiation of a mammogram. Now, clearly, I don't know what she was getting, but it was not thermography. So, okay, so continue, please.
Okay, well,
I just wanted
no
to stress that.
Okay, there's no radiation whatsoever. We are absorbing the body's heat and converting it to an image on a computer screen. There is no downside to the test because there is no radiation. There's also no compression, and therefore we don't have the discomfort and the pain. It doesn't matter. We could do a thermogram on you every day of your life without any harm. We can do this on women with breast implants, with surgical procedures that might adversely affect other diagnostic testing. We can do it on lactating and pregnant females. We can do it on the young and the old as well, because we're measuring the heat and we're using their body against their body as a standard because we're looking for symmetry. But we are looking at the physiology, and as you know, and for your listeners, the physiologic changes in the breast predate the anatomic ones in every facet of medicine. You get sick before a chest x-ray will show pneumonia. You get better
before
the chest x-ray shows that it's gone. So we have a heads up that allows you to know that the physiology of the breast is not working properly. And if you know that the physiology is not working properly, you can then be proactive in your health concerns and move forward and take steps to fix it.
There you go. Now, that is the medicine of this millennium, if you ask me. It's the drum I've been beating for the last 30 years, and you as well. So let's talk to Patty in San Diego, because you have a question about a breast lump, Patty, and then we'll just take you down, like, how a person like you out in the real world would approach breast screening, whether or not you're feeling something. So, Patty, can you let us know when you can hear us? We can hear you.
Okay, good morning, Dr. Northrup.
Good morning.
I spoke to you like about 2 or 3 months ago because I had a mammogram and they found an enlarged nodule, and also I had an ultrasound and they were recommending a biopsy. And in the past, 10, 15 years, I have had like 2 biopsies in each breast. So this time I wanted to try something different. You recommended that I take Iodoral and omega-3,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Which I have been doing. The only thing is, I don't know it's because it has been on my mind that I didn't do the biopsy or I got nervous. I started getting pain on my breast. And I was like really nervous about it. So I started reading, you know, and I read that cancer is not painful. So the pain went away for a while. And then this last week, the pain came back. So the lump, it's on my left breast. And that's the sometimes I get a little bit of burning. Sometimes I get a little pain. Sometimes my nipple, it's a little bit more sensitive. So I just wanted to speak to you about it and what should I do now. And I had thought about getting a thermography as well, but I just wasn't sure what to do.
Okay, Dr. Getson, you want to just take that question?
Sure. A couple of things come to mind. First of all, one of the things that we counsel our patients is to get rid of underwire bras.
Yes, because I have done that.
Okay, good. Well, so that's step number one. That's terrific. Number two, here's what a thermogram will do for you. First, understand that the only method that we have in this country of absolutely determining cancer is a biopsy. While
that's
ultrasounds
correct.
And mammograms and even MRIs may suggest it, a breast cancer can only be determined by a biopsy and pathologic diagnosis. We've seen a number of people who have lumps or masses, and we do a thermogram, and we look for heat generation. Now, remember that heat can come from inflammation, and inflammation, of course, is not necessarily cancerous. But The use of thermography in your case would be to do a study and determine whether that particular region is generating any heat. Statistically, if it is not generating any heat, it significantly lessens the likelihood of an actively growing breast cancer. I mean, nothing is 100%. But I think you go and you have the thermogram and you look at the area specifically, and if there's no heat, again, statistically, you are much less likely to have a breast cancer than if it's generating any heat. In terms of biopsies, two things, you know, there are 800,000 unnecessary breast biopsies annually.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Each of which makes a woman so stressed out that, I mean, I consider it a major life. It's, you know, on that Holmes-Ray scale, it's right up there with divorce and death of a loved one, because she's going in for breast biopsy. A woman is certain that she's going to die, actually.
That's what she's worried about. And I think one step beyond that is that even if the biopsy comes back normal, then there's a certain amount of fear. Well, what if they didn't put the needle in exactly the right place?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's what I have been reading about biopsies, and that's why I decided this time, like earlier on when I had the biopsies, is because I didn't know any better, and I was just going what the doctor was telling me. But now that I have been listening to Dr. Northrup, and I've been reading a little more about it, that's why I decided not to have the biopsy. But I was just concerned, and I'm not going to lie, sometimes I get like really frantic. I'm like, oh, why am I experiencing this pain or this burning? You know, what should I do? And honestly, I am just, I think, more afraid of going to the doctor, you know, and listening to the options that the doctor is going to give me.
Yeah. Okay. So, but Patty, okay, here is the thing. You're in that position where you're frozen. You want an absolute answer. And so what we're saying to you is thermography will give you more information. You've already had two breast biopsies, correct?
Right.
Right. And what did they tell you those were? Fibrocystic disease or something?
You know, they didn't really say what it was. They just came back saying that they were benign.
Okay. And how old are you?
I am 44.
Yeah. So are you having any change in your periods at all?
Yes. And actually, for the past 3 years, I've been having hot flashes.
Right, right. So you're in a period where many, many women are, which is called perimenopause.
Yes.
So this is characterized in many women by estrogen dominance, a lot of estrogen relative to progesterone. And estrogen is a growth factor for the breasts. And when it isn't balanced by progesterone, sometimes breasts can get lumpy, sore, very, very, very common. Iodine helps that in many, many women, but so does a diet rich in vegetables like broccoli and that kind of thing.
Yes, I've been doing that.
Yeah. So what you want to do is really make a decision. Will you sleep better at night if you go ahead and get the breast biopsy? Neither Dr. Getson nor myself is saying do not get a diagnosis. We're not saying that. We're talking about screening for breast health and what's the best way to do it. You already have a lump that you can feel, you see, and you've already had two biopsies. So there are many women listening who know someone who's been in for biopsy after biopsy after biopsy. So you're in that particular purgatory. But I would try this other stuff, including perhaps breast massage, very gentle, seeing a healer. Melanie Erickson is excellent, wealthofhealthme.com. And we've got only 30 seconds left in this segment. So, Patty, thanks for calling. And everyone stay with us. We're going to be back in 5 minutes, and we will talk more about what the best thing is to do for your breast health. So we've already told you no underwire bras and maybe a little extra iodine. Stay with us. We'll be right back.